Our series is Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. What we are seeking to address is the loss of the rule of your world. God said when he created man, let them rule. That what he did was limited his involvement in the human affairs within certain prescribed sovereign boundaries to the decisions of men. And he would respond based on your response, for good or for bad. So he created Adam and he said, now let him rule. He created a world for God centered in a garden named Eden. He was to use his ingenious creativity given to him by God to cultivate it. But in order to do that, he had to keep the serpent out. But in football language, Adam fumbled the ball. What caused the fumble was he got out of alignment. He got out of alignment from God. Eve got out of alignment from him. And this out of alignment opened the door for the devil to take over his garden and to begin ruling his world. So cataclysmic was this fumble that Satan recovered the ball and he and his team took offense. They were now calling the plays. And the Adamites, the human race from his fumble, have been playing defense ever since. And you hear it all the time when you hear people talk about trying to stop the devil. Well, if you're trying to stop the devil, he has the ball. He's calling the plays, running the show, setting the agenda. You're trying to stop him because he's on offense. He and his team have taken over, and Jesus even recognized this by calling him the ruler of this world. He is the one who, due to Adam's fumble, has now been governing within sovereign boundaries, but still governing the world. What we have suggested to you is that unless you understand the theology of spiritual authority, you'll never rule your world. You'll always be reacting to another ruler who is ruling your world. But I have good news for you today, and the good news is that you can reverse the devil's rule. If you've come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, which he freely offers to all who come to him for it, then you have been repositioned for rulership. When Satan took over the rule of the world because Adam handed it over to him, a curse came with it. A curse in his career. Now the smooth flowing in the garden would not happen. It would be thorns and thistles. It affected his relationship. The battle of the sexes would, but he will rule over you. There would be war in the family. It affected things financially. It affected their children. It was a cataclysmic fumble. And people have been playing defense ever since, trying to keep the devil from gaining more territory over their world. But with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you now have home field advantage. Because he's changed something that I want to talk to you about today, binding and loosing. But this will set the stage for it, because you have to understand why you can bind and why you can loose. When this fumble occurred and God was handing out the curse for moving out from his alignment, he gave a prophecy in Genesis 3:15. He says, there will be the seed of the woman, and the serpent will bruise the seed's heel, but the seed will crush the serpent's head. Jesus said, now you fumbled the ball, Adam, and you've turned over the rule of the planet to the evil one by moving from underneath my alignment. But I've got some good news coming, because the woman is going to have a child. Now, it's a very interesting phrase. He says, the seed of the woman. Normally, you would read the seed of the man. But see, this baby would have no human father, so it would be the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman would have his heel hurt by the serpent, representing Satan. But the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. Let me say that again. The seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, will crush the serpent's head. You missed that. The seed of the woman, let me add something on to it, will crush the serpent's headship. Headship is rule and authority. With the coming of the seed of the woman, the headship, the authority of Satan will be crushed. He will get wounded in his process, the heel, the cross. But when this is all over, Satan's headship will be crushed. His authoritative rule will be negated. That's why in our scripture today, Colossians 2, he says in verse 8, no longer be controlled by the thinking of men, philosophy, empty deception, and human tradition. Because in him, Christ, dwells the fullness of God in bodily form. All that makes God God is in Christ, but it's in a human body. That's why he's the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's why he can get thirsty and then walk on water. That's why he can get hungry and then turn sardines and crackers into a Moby Dick sandwich. That's why he can die and then get up. Because he's the God-man, fully God, fully man in one person. In Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of God in bodily form. And there's so much there. In him, verse 10, you have been made complete. There's nothing missing. In fact, chapter 1, verse 15 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. So if you are falling apart, that means you and the glue haven't hooked up, because he says, in him, all things hold together, maintain their equilibrium. He wants you to know that if you have come to Christ, you have come to the one who's broken the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ is the new head of state. Head of state is the one who is in final authority. Let me put it another way. He now has veto power. When the opposition to the president gives him a law he doesn't want, he vetoes it. Jesus Christ now, by virtue of the cross, has veto power. Chapter 2 goes on to say, all this occurred, verse 12, when he raised him from the dead. When he raised him from the dead, verse 14, he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which were hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way when he nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authority, he made public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Satan got whipped at Calvary. His headship over your life and over your world was canceled when the debt, the fumble, got canceled. The cancellation of debt, that's in the Roman world, when they were getting ready to kill you because of a crime, they would write down the crime that you committed. And so you would have a certificate that outlined he stole, he killed, he murdered, he raped. And that's why he's going to death. You would have a list against you, which would be the reason for why they were going to crucify you or take your life, capital punishment. Jesus even had a certificate against him. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's made himself greater than Caesar. But on the cross, Jesus canceled the certificate through the forgiveness of the sins. But he not only forgave your sins so that you could go to heaven, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities. Let me put it this way. It's one thing to have somebody pointing a gun at you with bullets in it. That's one thing. It's a whole nother thing for somebody to be pointing a gun at you that's empty. Now, both have a gun, but they don't have the same power. Because one has been deactivated. Because the firepower has been removed. Now, if you don't know that the gun is empty, then you're going to walk, talk, and act like the gun is loaded. Because you don't know the gun is empty. But if somebody ever lets you know, or he goes click, 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 six times, and nothing comes out, oh, now you can unbutton your jacket because it's a whole different program now. Once you learn that there's nothing in the gun. See, what the devil doesn't want you to know is his gun has been emptied at the cross of Christ. So he keeps pointing it and we keep shaking because we don't know that Jesus Christ at the cross took the bullets out. So now all he can do is pretend like it's loaded. But if you don't know it's not loaded, you're going to still run. You're going to still be a victim. You're going to still be defeated. You're going to still be a loser because you think just because he got a gun, he has power. It says Jesus Christ disarmed him, deactivated him, or ruined his headship. If you have come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life, then what that means is Satan, watch this now, has lost his authority. Now let me tell you what he hasn't lost, his power. He is as powerful now as he's ever been. Authority is different though. Authority is the right to use the power that you possess. He has power, but no longer any authority. So in order for him to use his power, watch this now, he's got to get you from functioning underneath your authority. Because his power is only powerful when he has the right to use it. But he doesn't have the right to use it if you're underneath your legitimate authority. That's why he wants to remove the authority so he can make you subject to his power. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has removed his authority. But if you don't know that, every time the gun shows up, you're going to think it's loaded. There was a hailstone that blew through a Midwestern town and stuff started falling down. The house started falling down. Barn started falling down. And the chicken coop began falling down. It collapsed on the chickens. Many chickens were killed. It came in overnight. It was a terrible hailstorm. When the sun rose up in the east, there was a rattling underneath the collapsed chicken coop. And crawling out from underneath, beaten, bruised, was a rooster. The rooster comes out after being whipped all night long by the hailstone. Comes out, shakes the best way it can, and does a cock-a-doodle-doo. You know what the rooster was saying? It was a bad night, but it's a whole new day now. The rooster was saying it was rough last night, but the sun has risen, so it's a brand new day now. It may have been rough last night. You may be in a bad situation. Your life may have been bad. Your past may have been bad. Your mama may have been bad. Your daddy may have been bad. But when Jesus Christ rose, when the sun rose, cock-a-doodle-doo, it's a whole new day. Because the authority has been ruined. Jesus Christ has deactivated his authority, has disarmed his authority, has whipped him, if you will. And so that's why the Bible says over and over and over and over again, Jesus Christ is head. Ephesians 1:22 says, and he is head over all things, but he's only available to the church. In other words, only Christians can utilize his headship. He's over everything. He's sovereign over everything, but he's only available to Christians, to the church. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 27 says that Jesus Christ is head over all things, and the enemies have been placed under his feet. He's in charge now. That is, he has legal authority. And he has legal authority in the spiritual realm. Why does he need legal authority in the spiritual realm? Because the spiritual realm is the thing that affects the physical realm. If you don't fix it up there, you can't fix it down here. See, you can go to all the meetings you want. You can go to all the help, and you may find some temporary reprieve. But if you want it fixed from the root up, you've got to get the cause. The only reason Adam and Eve had a problem was because the spiritual entered the garden. Through the serpent, through another spiritual thing, but it was infused by the spiritual. So if you don't bind and loose it there, it won't be bound and loosed here. And so we're complaining that our situations don't change when we've not addressed the cause. We've not addressed the root. We keep playing with the fruit. Jesus Christ is authoritative. He's calling the shots now. That's raised the question there. Okay, that's nice and it's ethereal. But I'm living down here with financial problems and career problems and family problems and children problems. I'm not ruling my world. My world is ruling me. But yet you tell me Jesus Christ is the head. He's calling the shots now. I'm underneath his authority. I'm supposed to be ruling my world. I'm supposed to be telling my world what to do. My world is telling me what to do. What's wrong since I'm a Christian? Okay, let's understand something. Look at the verses here. Verse 10. For in him you have been made complete. In him you were circumcised. Verse 12. In him you were baptized. Verse 13. You were made alive together with him. In him, with him, in him, with him, in him, with him, in him, with him, in him, with him. That is a theological statement about our union with Christ. Okay, when I come in the morning to church on Sunday morning, some ladies have some coffee made for me. And so when I come in the morning, they will bring in me a cup of coffee. The coffee is black, but I take cream in my coffee. So they will take cream and pour it into the coffee. So the cream is now in the coffee. The coffee is stirred and a union occurs. The cream is united with black coffee. Now I don't have black coffee and white cream. I got brown coffee. Because the union of the white milk with the black coffee creates something different than they were when they were apart. Because a union has occurred. So wherever the black coffee goes, the white cream goes. Wherever the white cream goes, the black coffee goes, because they've been placed in union. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ arose, we arose with him. When Christ was seated on the right hand of the Father, we were seated with him. In other words, we were attached to Christ and we were stirred up and there is no separation. So that if we want what Christ has, we have to function in union with him. That's why if Satan can get you operating outside of his authority, from underneath his head, he's got you because you're denying the union. Look at verse 13 of chapter 1 of Colossians. Verse 13 puts it this way. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Let me say that again. He rescued us from the dominion, the authority of darkness, and transferred us to the rule, kingdom of his beloved son. You were transferred, when you became a Christian, out of the wrong kingdom into the right kingdom. You used to belong to Satan's rule before you met Christ. Now, having come to Christ, you're part of a new kingdom, and every kingdom has a king, of which Jesus Christ is the king. Satan, in order to rule your world, has got you to get you to leave your kingdom and come back over to his kingdom that you just left, because once you operate apart from your union, you operate apart from its authority. So the reason why we are not experiencing more rule of our world is that we've been duped into believing I will come on Sunday and get information about my real kingdom, but when I live on Monday, I'm a tip back over to the other kingdom and operate that way. Well, once you make that switch, he now can exercise his power because you're no longer under divine authority. When my daughter Priscilla got married, she shifted kingdoms. Prior to that time, she was under my guidance, my rule, my authority as her father. But when she said, I do, she shifted arrangements. No longer was I to be her primary concern. It was now shifted over to her husband, who was her new head. It was his job to provide provision and protection and guidance. Why? Because she was now taking his name. She was no longer an Evans because she had now transferred kingdoms because of love. She decided that her love for her new husband was greater than her love for her father. I know she decided that because she chose him. All right now. But 2 weeks after she got married, she called me up talking about, Dad, I need some money. I said, ask your husband. He's your new head. He's protecting. He's providing for you. Check with you. She said, but yeah, you my father. Well, when I was your head, I was responsible. But you've now shifted over to a new kingdom. But I said, here's what you can do. Ask your head to ask me. Ask him to ask me. Okay? In other words, don't skip him and jump over to me as though you're still part of this kingdom. You're part of a whole nother kingdom now. Satan is saying, ask me, ask me, ask me. I'll gladly provide for you. But he wants you to skip your head, shift over to his head so he can exercise power. You owe me. And so the reason why we're not ruling our worlds is because we keep shifting. We come to church under one kingdom. We operate at the job at another kingdom. We have devotions in the morning in one kingdom. We operate among our friends in another. We keep flip-flopping kingdoms and wonder why the rule is not there. Wonder why I can't get over the hump. Wonder why the enemy still is calling the shots. He's calling the shots because we're not operating in the union under the headship that God has called us to operate under. And so, the question may be, well then, how is this supposed to work? Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Let me read one verse to you. Romans 16, verse 20. Romans 16, verse 20, it says this. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under Jesus' feet. Is that what it says? I heard some yes, I heard some no's. Read your Bible, read your Bible. Don't just believe it because somebody standing on the pulpit says it. That's why you need to bring your Bible to church or use the bulletin, use something. It says, and soon the God of peace will crush the devil under where? Your feet. Well, wait a minute, watch this now. I thought Satan was under Jesus' feet. Well, he is, but I'm in union with him. So if he's under Jesus' feet and I'm in union with him, that means he's under my feet. Okay, let me show you how this works. On the cross, validated by the resurrection, Jesus Christ defeated the devil, watch this, legally. It was a legal defeat. You and I must defeat him actually. We defeat him actually. Jesus Christ defeated him legally. Because the law has been changed, we now can activate. Anybody remember, you know, back in the day, the curl activator? Come on, you know, back in the day, the Jerry Curl day. I see a couple of them still out there today, but back in the day, they put the chemicals in your hair. Remember they put the chemicals in your hair? Okay, but then your hair would dry out. So you'd need in the morning when you get up to put in that curl activator, and that would make it turn again. You know, it would bring to life what it died. See, what the chemicals did was give you what you need. But what the activator did was make it come to life. On the cross, Jesus put the chemicals in there. It's now workable. But you must activate it under your feet. He put him under his feet, but you must activate it under your feet or let them rule. That's why God told Mary, you got to move the stone. That's why God told Moses, you got to hold up the rod. That's why God told Israel, you got to walk around the wall 7 times. Because it won't be activated until you act. I have already passed the legal law. He's under my feet. But you must activate it in history. That's why I left and left you here, because you're to be my body expressing in history what I've already done in eternity. You are to activate the victory that Christ has already achieved in his kingdom. A great illustration of this is Joshua chapter 10, verse 22 to 27. Let me just highlight for you. This is a great story. The kings are giving Israel a bad time, and Joshua is the head of Israel, and they're giving them a rough time. 5 kings get together, and they're trying to squash Joshua, but Joshua defeats them. He defeats the 5 kings. And then look at what Joshua does. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 22, Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring these 5 kings out to me from the cave. So they did so, and they bring the 5 kings out, verse 23, verse 24. When they brought these kings out to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of war, of the men of war who had gone with him, come near. Put your feet on the necks of these kings so that they came near and put their feet on their necks. Joshua said to them, do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight. What is the Lord going to do? Put his feet on their neck. Now, Joshua is the head man. But Joshua says, even though we've whipped them, I want you men to put your feet on their necks. In other words, I want you to actualize the victory that I'm already declaring, because God's going to do to everybody else what he's illustrating he's doing to these 5 kings right now. God wants you to be able to put your foot on the neck of your situation. He wants you to put the foot on the neck of your problem. He wants you to put the foot on the neck of your career. He wants you to actualize on earth what he's already declared from heaven. But if you don't actualize it, his declaration won't mean a thing to you. If you don't act in concert with his lordship and the principles of his kingdom, his authority, you'll never realize. And you'll be out there fighting for power, a victory you can never win against an angel. You'll be out there fighting for power. God wants to change things in your career. He wants to change things in your family. He wants to change things with your finances. He wants to change things in your physical well-being. But if you keep jumping kingdoms, then you lose his authority and you get out there and you just do the best you can. He says, put your feet on their necks, because Satan is under your feet. So put your feet on his neck through operating under my lordship, which is why the worst thing you can do is come from underneath the legitimate authority. Once you do that, you lose authority, and therefore there is no power against a powerful realm that is against you. Jesus has already won for you and me to rule our world. Does that mean there won't be problems? No. Does that mean there won't be difficulties? No. But it means that the problems and difficulties will no longer call the shots in your life. Okay. Anytime you were to come to my house, one thing will perpetually be on the television, and that is the NFL Network. Okay, everybody knows me, knows I love football, as every real man should. And so I'm always watching the NFL Network. During football season, they show you the scores of the game. All the games, the 32 teams in the NFL, they will show you the scores each week of every game. So you can see how everything ended because you see the scores. But let me tell you what the NFL Network does also. They replay the games. So if you didn't see the score, then you don't know what happened. But if you saw the score, you know what happened, but you may want to see the game. You know what worked out by the score. You know how it worked out by the game. You know what happened by the score. You know how it happened by the game. They will show you games from last year, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago. They will show you games from the past, even though you may know the score of how it worked out. I'm going somewhere. As I'm sitting and watching a rerun of a game where I already know the outcome, it changes how I watch it when I know where it's going. I see my team fumble, but I don't get all shook up because I know where this thing is going. I see my quarterback throw an interception, but I ain't gonna get all nervous because I know where this thing is ending. I see my team go four and out and unable to score first down, but it don't matter because I know where this thing is going. At halftime, my team is losing. It don't matter, because I know where it's going. I may get a little frustrated. I may get a little upset, but I ain't going to lose it. I'm not going to have to get on Prozac, because I know where this thing is going. I have already seen the end when they showed me the score. Jesus wants you to know where this thing is going. He has already been defeated. He has already been decapitated. The bullets have already been removed. So you got a bad situation on your job. That's okay, because we know where this thing is going. You have a bad situation in your finances. It's a little unnerving, but it's okay, because you know where this thing is going. There's some family problems, but you can survive it, because you know where this thing is going. There's some health issues. You can be troubled by it, but you know where this thing is going, because he has already defeated him. He is already victorious, and you are in union with him. Claim your authority under his lordship by the rules of his kingdom, and then you will see him overrule in your rule of your world. Because you know where this thing is going. Right now, if you're outside of his lordship, if you've been doing your own thing, you come to church, but you're kind of running your own life. You're not in line. You're out of alignment. I want you to get in alignment. If you're not a Christian, you need to come to Christ. If you are a Christian, you need to re-come underneath Christ. If you've been away from him, doing your thing Monday through Saturday, but then doing the church thing on Sunday, that won't do it. You will not rule your world. But you will begin to see authority operating in your life if you come underneath Christ.